My happy privilege to come back tonight, have a chance to talk with you once again about the wonderful words of Christ. You know, Jesus, as they heard him preach, as the Messiah walked the earth and preached to mankind, they said, never man spake like this man. And truthfully, wherever Jesus speaks, if he speaks through you, if he speaks through me, if he speaks as he did when he walked the shores of Galilee, never man spake like that man. And whenever we can get him to talk, and whenever we can listen and hear what he's got to say, it's a great, wonderful experience always. So tonight, we're glad to be here, glad to feel his lovely presence, and see you folks out to hear the gospel. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the gospel. A lot of people have plans. They have plans and they have ventures in life and certain values in life. And to hear the truth or to hear the gospel would make them or cause them to have to make a change. And because of that, they don't really want to hear the truth. They don't really want to know about Jesus in the reality of the gospel. They would like to know about Jesus in the sense that they don't want to be lost. You know, nobody wants to go into the lake of fire, not even the devil, isn't that right? And all of us would like to be religious to a degree. That is to the extent that we would not have to go into the lake of fire. But I'm speaking of really coming into the truth, knowing the truth, and the Bible said the truth shall make you free. Of really coming into the gospel of Jesus Christ and causing our lives to conform to His way of life, and causing our lives to become His life, and pleasing Him with everything that we do. To me, that is the wonderful way called the gospel way. If I was not going to try to go to heaven, I'd get out of the religious business. I'd get into another business. If I wasn't planning to go to heaven, if I didn't have it in my heart to know about the truth, I'd get out of the religious business. I'd get into some other business. And a lot of other things, you know, that a fellow could do outside of go to church. And if I was just in this thing just to listen and be religious, I'd change my way. And I'd get out in sin and I'd enjoy sin for a season and then just go into the lake of fire. But inasmuch as I chose this way, then I've chosen it to do the very best that I know how, to learn everything I can about it, and to make it into the wonderful kingdom of God. A lot of you are not doing that. There's people under this tent that I can pick up your spirit tonight. And you're not doing that. As a matter of fact, I can pick up your spirit tonight through the Holy Spirit and tell that some of you, unless you make a change, you're not going to heaven. And yet you're just as religious as you can be. You're greatly religious, but you don't want the truth. And the reason is because when you get the truth, you're going to have to make some changes in your life and in your home. And you're going to have to reroute some things, and you're going to have to reprogram your mind. And you don't want to do that. Did you know anything that you do in this world, it takes a little time, isn't that right? A lot of folks just get the idea, you know, they say, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to heaven. But that doesn't mean anything. There's people that have no prayer life, that never take time to pray, that never do any fasting, that never try to support the gospel, that never make a sacrifice for Christ. They never visit the widows, they never help the orphans, they never go out of their way to do anything. And they say that they are Christians. But I want you to know tonight you're not. You're not a Christian. See, a Christian means Christ-like. You know what he did? He fasted. He prayed. He went about doing good, helping others. And he was always about his Father's business, and he always had God on his mind. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, that is, you help them, and then you keep yourself unspotted from the world. That takes some effort, isn't that right? That takes some effort. So then, how can I get to heaven? By believing in the Word of God. How can I prove that I believe in the Word of God? By incorporating it in my life and doing what it tells me to do. The Bible said, he that is a hearer of the Word, but not a doer, he is a forgetful hearer. He is as a man that looketh into a mirror, and he seeth himself, and he sees how undone he is, but he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he is. But they that look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, the Bible said, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. As a matter of fact, it tells us that whatever he does shall prosper. I want to say again, as I did last night, that I'm grateful for those that have come to be with us. I'm thankful for everyone that has come out to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and that's concerned about the wonderful word of the Lord. We're grateful to have Brother Gene Armstrong and the wife out. They've been coming out from night to night. I've never met them, and I thought maybe I might have recognized them the other night, but I wasn't sure. And somebody pointed Brother Gene out tonight. And I'd like to say we're certainly glad to have him here with us. And the others that have been coming out, Brother Law has come out with a regularity, he and his companion. And others have come out. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. We've got some people that's here that's from the neighboring towns. It's been here, that is, and perhaps some tonight. Matter of fact, we had a carload of people that come over sometimes in the morning from Pensacola. I think they come really just about the end of our service last night, and it was too late for them to be in service. They kind of miscalculated a little bit as to the distance. They said they'd be back with us over the weekend. So then people have come from different places, and we're glad to have them here with us tonight. Glad to have Brother Larry here from Mississippi, and a number of people here from Georgia. We're glad for every one of them that's here. We've had quite a few people that's come out from right here in Apalachicola. Tonight is a church night. Maybe we won't have as many. Maybe we will. But whatever, we thank the Lord for those that have come out to be with us. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1, and let's just read a little bit, if you don't mind. Reading down in the latter part of chapter 1, 10th verse. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them says, even a prophet of their own, said the Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, and turn that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and under every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, nor purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, tonight I'd like to just talk with you for a few minutes concerning the grace of God. The grace of God is the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity. It's by the grace of God that I'm living tonight. It's by the grace of God that you're living tonight. It's by the grace of God that we are made alive, that we have become a creation or a creature. It's by the grace of God that there's trees and stars, the ocean, the moon. It is by the grace of God that all things are here, and by the grace of God that all things continue to remain. It is for sure that man has not helped the cause in any way. Man has been contrary to God in every way and every walk of life. But because of his grace, he so loved the world. He so loved his people. He so loved his creation. He so loved life and the beauty of life. He so loved the songs of the birds and to be able to see the little fish sail about in the water. He so loved the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sense of their brilliance and their contribution to life and mankind. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. I want to say this, as I've often said. We preach, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the thought so often enters into our mind, how is it that a preacher can preach, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and then can turn on the other hand and preach that God so loved the world? You know, it can get real confusing when we ask ourselves this question, how is it that God can so love the world and then forbid us to love the world? Why is it that God cares so much for this world, and God loves this world so much, And then God tells me and tells you that we are not to love the world. And we are not to be spotted by the world. But we're to come out of the world and be a separate people. How do we differentiate between these things? First of all, we've got to remember that when God tells us that He so loved the world, it doesn't mean that God so loves the world of today. It doesn't mean that God loves the world in the condition that it's in. But God so loved the world in its early stages, in the condition that He had created it, when He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He so loved the world when it was pure, when it was a virgin world, when there was no death and no sorrow, no heartaches, and no woes. God saw it in all of its radiance and in all of its beauty. And God so loved the world that it grieved Him at His heart when the world became corrupt. And He purposed in His heart that He would give the Son of God to go redeem the world and bring the world back to that present condition that it was in at the time that God so loved the world. Now, so then God so loved the world, the way that He made it in all of its purities, that He sent His only begotten Son to redeem it, that He might restore it to that wonderful garden condition that we call the millennium. Now, God tells us in this day, don't you love the world? Don't you love the things that are in the world? For today, the world is in a bad condition. The world today is corrupt. The world is filled with lust, haughty, contrary people, corrupt minds, human reasoning that will not love nor listen to the truth. It is so filled with filth and corruption that people strip their clothes away in their nudeness, and they parade up and down the streets in their nudeness. And they're contrary to the truth, and contrary to God, and contrary to the Word of God. So then God said, don't you love the world in the condition it's in right now? Don't you stay out in the world in the condition it's in right now, but come out of the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. God tells us not to be partakers of the things of the world, but He tells us to follow after the gospel. Follow after holiness. Live a holy life. Be a sober, a real clean, upright person. Have our conversations in heaven. Have our mind in heaven. Have our thoughts in heaven. And the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Come out of the world, Jesus said. Get away from the world. He said, don't be spotted by the world. Because the world today is under a curse. The world itself is under a curse. But brethren, we've been delivered from the curse by the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ. We are delivered from the curse by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are not of this world, for God has chosen us out of this world, and the Bible said God has hid us in God with Christ. We are hid in the Spirit with Christ Jesus until the day of the redemption, the day of the purging, the day of the cleansing of this corrupt world that we find ourselves walking and talking in so far as our human person. You say, Brother Pine, how can I get out of the world? Now, Paul explains there's no way you can naturally leave the world. But he tells us that we are dead to the world in our bodies by the body of Jesus Christ. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, and that you are dead in the flesh. You are buried with Christ in baptism, and you are alive in your spirit unto God. Therefore, seek the things that are above, he said. And the Bible tells us not to walk in the flesh, for if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. There is no way to please God if you're walking in the flesh, if you're walking according to your human senses, if you're walking after these passions of the body, if you're interested in the things around you. The Bible said, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So then we are not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God is in you, then the Bible said, if Christ is in you, God shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit of Christ that dwelleth within you. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. And if you do not have Christ in you, my friend, you have no hope of the other world. Now think of this. Why is Jesus Christ in me the hope of glory? Can you tell me why He is the hope of glory? Why is Christ in me the hope of glory? There is one reason why He is the hope of glory. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ alone has been made heir to the glory of God. And if Jesus alone is heir to the glory of God, that means that you and I, not anyone else since the world ever was, has been made heir to the glory of God. Jesus Christ alone is heir to the glory of God. The promise that God gave to Abraham, Paul carefully points out that it was not a promise as the seeds of many, but unto seeds as of one. And that one was Christ. And when Peter preached at Pentecost, he carefully pointed out that when the time of the promise drew near, that is when the seed to whom the promise was made come into the world, then we had a chance for salvation. But it tells us all of those that died under the law that they could not be made perfect without us. All of those people was back there under the law, but those people could not find salvation until the time of the promise drew near. And when the time of the promise drew near, or the seed to whom this thing was promised, then Peter stands up boldly and tells us that this is that. Brother, sister, the promise was made to Jesus. For God said, Abraham, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed, not unto seeds as of many, but as the seeds as of one. So then tonight, it's not unto you and I, it's unto Christ Jesus. And if He is the only heir to the glory of God, then the only way that I have a hope of that glory is to have Christ Jesus on the inside of me. Therefore, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we see Jesus appearing in glory, He stood on the Mount of Transfiguration between Moses and Elijah, and the Bible said He appeared there in glory. So then tonight, we have a chance for eternal life. We have a chance for the glory of God. We have a chance to live eternally, providing that we have Christ on the inside of our heart. But it is a true fact that if I don't have Jesus, the Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, then you are none of mine. I must have Jesus Christ on the inside of me, or I do not belong to God. I cannot get to God except by the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son of God. If you do not go by the Son of God and through the lovely name of the Son of God, you cannot get to the Heavenly Father. Tonight we have a promise of that grace. A lot of people misconstrue grace and they say, Brother Pike, we're saved strictly by the grace of God. That means there's nothing for me to do. I don't have to worry about doing anything. Because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. That is the Bible. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Again, we find what appears to be a contradiction in the Scriptures. One writer tells us that we're saved by grace without works. Another writer tells us that it takes the works to establish the grace. And so then we see one writer saying, I therefore say that a man is saved by faith without the works or deeds of the law. Another writer comes along and says, well, you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works after that she had kept the spies and kept them from being harmed? Wasn't Noah justified by works when he built the ark? Wasn't those of old justified by works when they did the thing that God told them to do? And He said, therefore, seeing that works mix with faith, it makes faith perfect. And therefore, I say that faith alone cannot save you. You know, this is a real contradiction so far as the carnal mind is concerned. This is a real disturbing thing so far as the carnal mind is concerned. Why does one preacher preach that we can be saved by faith without works? Another preacher says we can't be saved by faith unless we have works. The difference is that it is not a misunderstanding in the Bible. It is not a contradiction in the Bible. The thing is, it is a misunderstanding of our concept of God and what God is doing. What is it then that God is doing? We see that Paul is speaking of one kind of faith, and the other writer, James, and the others are speaking of another kind of faith. We see that Paul is speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ by which we are sanctified. And the Bible said this is the faith that needs no works. For they asked the question, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. He said the works was finished from the foundation of the world. I am the works of God. You must believe on me or enter into my rest. I am the finished works of God. So then Paul is talking about the faith of Jesus Christ that was so perfect in the body and heart of Christ that it never wavered one time. It never staggered one time. It never gave in one time. And that faith in the heart of Jesus, God has accepted as my faith tonight, as your faith tonight, as the unwavering, unwavering faith, and gives you your inheritance through that unwavering, unbroken faith. So then by this faith, in the sight of God, in the presence of God, we are therefore sanctified. Because the works of God is finished in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that we are His workmanship in Christ. We are predestinated unto good works. Now then James is telling us, all the other writers as they speak of this faith with works, they are telling us about human faith. They are telling us that there is no way that my human faith is going to register in the sight of God. There is no way that my human faith is going to take hold of that faith unless I do something in my natural body to move toward God's pleasure, or to make myself honor God's word, or to make myself do the things that please God. My faith will not work unless I put some works behind my faith. I say this. If I went over here, some of you fellas, the contractor, I wanted a job. I went over to your place, and if I stood around all week long on your job, when you said, I don't want you, I haven't hired you, and I'm not going to pay you, I say, nevertheless, I'm going to stand here all week. At the weekend, do you really think that down in my heart I could soberly, sensibly believe that that man was going to pay me? I couldn't. You know why? Because I haven't worked for him. I haven't done anything for him. But did you know if I went over to another job and the man said, I want to hire you, and I worked all week long, I'd done all I could all week long, then did you know that at the end of the week, there is something on the inside of me that would make me expect a paycheck and make me believe that that man was going to pay me? Now, he might not pay me, but I'd believe it anyway. This is what the writer is telling us. You cannot strip your clothes away and go around nude when you know the Bible tells you not to do that. You can't paint your body up like a wild Indian and a Jezebel when you know the Bible condemns that. You can't paint your body up like a wild Indian and a Jezebel when you know the Bible condemns that. You can't go out here to the movies of the world and sit under television programs that you know are non-virtuous and listen to the rock and rolls of our day. You can't go to the frolics of this world and to the banquets. You can't go out here to the races and to the worldly frolics and still believe in your heart that you are in harmony with God. Now, your preacher may tell you that you're all right, because he may be just as corrupt as you are. But I want you to know something, brother and sister. You cannot have faith in your heart and do those ungodly things that are unlike Christ. This is what the writer is saying. You're going to have to live holy. You're going to have works of righteousness. You're going to have to draw nigh to God. You're going to have to confess Christ, not only in word, but in deed. You're going to have to be holy, not only in spirit, but in your body. As I read to you tonight, you're going to have to be sober. You're going to have to gird up your loins. You're going to have to talk to Christ in the right way and serve God in the right way if you ever expect to have faith to believe in the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So then, we are saved by the faith of Christ Jesus without works. We are saved in that the Bible tells us that we are sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. But I want you to know tonight, when you are born to the faith of Jesus, when you are born to the Spirit of Christ, that you're going to have a nature on the inside of you, and that nature on the inside of you is going to cry out for the things of God. You're going to have a nature on the inside of you that's going to make you produce fruits of the Spirit. You're going to have a nature on the inside of you that's going to make you want to be just exactly like the Son of God. That makes you to be just exactly the way that Jesus wanted to be. To be about your Father's business and to go to and fro in this world doing the things of God. You love the Lord? I see the devil's got his motorcycle gang or whatever out there to try to disturb the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. How do you know that? He'll do anything. He had some running up and down out here the other day, right along the road. But their day's coming. Right now, we're just going to talk about Jesus and let them scream all they want to. So then, if I have the nature of Jesus, I'm going to produce the spirits of Christ Jesus. If I have God in my heart, I'm going to produce the things that pertain to God. If I have the mind of Christ, I'm going to be about my Father's business, and I'm going to do the things that pertain unto godliness, and you're going to find me walking holy, talking holy, thinking holy, and doing everything I possibly can to get everybody else to be holy. If you find me any other way, then you know that I'm not of God. Preachers in the world today are more interested in money and fame and popularity and following and having somebody to talk to than they are in telling the truth and living a Christian life. Hundreds of thousands of people today that are in the church world are just as corrupt as they can be. They don't believe in holiness. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that a man's got to live a life of holiness? The Bible said without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. How can you expect to serve a God that is the Spirit of holiness and not be holy? He said, be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. There are people in the world today, the only thing they rely upon is predestination. That's the most foolish thing I ever heard of. Is for somebody to let their soul rest upon the fact that they're predestinated. You can be predestinated to hell as well as to glory. It depends on what you are predestinated to. Paul said there are men of old that was before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men, he said. Before of old, they're predestinated to go to hell. So then you may be one of the predestinated in the wrong way. You know what you need to do is make sure your calling and election. If you want to go out here and do the things of the world, if you want to go out here and be a heathen, if you want to act like the devil, then you can make your calling to hell sure. All you got to do is act like the devil and you'll make your calling and predestination to hell sure. And if you want to go to heaven, then you're going to have to be born again. And when you're born again, then you'll make your calling and election in God sure. If you live like Christ. The Bible said to make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're one of the called of God. I may hold this a little close to my mouth because of the devils running up and down on the motorcycles. They're doing it for meanness. I know that's what it's for because they come out here the other day. So I might have to holler a little bit, otherwise I'd just talk to you. But I want to be sure I can keep your attention while the devils are parading. They keep on, God will stop some of them. I hate to even think like that because I hate to see some of them hurt. I don't want to see some of them hurt. I know that boys get wild and they get careless, and I hate to see them hurt. So when they do these things, I just pray and ask God to help them. But it is a true fact, when they're doing those things to be devilish, God will put a stop to it. He will get tired of it. You know, there were some children that run out after a prophet, and they said, go up, Baldy. And they kept on till they got him grieved, and he turned around and cursed them. And the Bible said a she-bear come out of the woods and tear 40 and two of them. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like a great man of God was baptizing here. I heard about it. I didn't know it till I saw the picture. He was baptizing, and a woman come up in a bathing suit. And she was sitting in a boat, and he said, "Lady, don't do that." He said, "Go on away from here." And she just laughed, kicked up her heels, and she, just in a little while, she drowned. God killed her right on the spot. I've had people that interfered with our meetings and that had churches in the local area. And the next morning, their church would burn to the ground. I've had people that interfered, and in a day or two, God killed them. God will not put up with foolishness, folks. I know that we live on the grace of God, and we trust in the mercy of God, and we get careless. We get the idea because of this that we can just go on doing anything because God's good to us, because God's kind to us. But we've got to remember that God is a God of judgment. And that God will visit our iniquity upon our heads if we do evil. It makes no difference with God. Whether it's the judge, whether it's the jailer, whether it's the doctor, whether it's the lawyer, whether it's the policeman, whether it's the preacher, whatever it is. Whether it's the millionaire or the pauper. God will visit his iniquity upon his head if he doeth evil. So then God, who is no respect to person, God, who is no respect to person, will see. He will see that their iniquity is visited upon their head when they do wickedly. You know, if Appalachia Cola loved God like they ought to, there'd be a half a dozen men out there to stop those boys on the cycles and put a stop to that foolishness. If I was a policeman and I was in an area like this, and such foolishness started like that, I'd be out there and I'd stop them in a minute. Did you know, just to interfere with a group of people or a religious order like this is the violation of the Constitution of the United States and being registered with the government as a power? We could cause those boys a lot of trouble out there because they're not going anywhere. They're just running to and fro to try to cause a disturbance. All right. Just leave him alone, Rick. It won't be long. Just leave him alone. We'll pray. You mark them, the ones that's troublemakers in this area, that tries to disturb this place. Mark them when we leave this place. And you'll know that God has been in your midst when you see what happens to them. This has happened many times. I trust that they'll stop their foolishness and go on their way before they get God grieved. They've already got me grieved. And the Bible said to grieve the minister is not profitable. That's not profitable to you to grieve the minister because it upsets God when the minister gets grieved. And them running up and down that way, it grieves me because I can feel the spirit of it and I know what they're doing. But speaking of the grace of God, another problem that we have in the world today, people misconstrue the grace of God. And they get the wrong idea about the grace of God. And they say, "Brother Pike, the grace of God is upon everybody. And Jesus has spilt his blood for everybody. And God loves everybody." That's not true, folks. God doesn't love everybody. What makes you think that God loves everybody? The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible said, "I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth." He said, "Beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." He said, "All nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell." Folks, could you say to me that you loved me when you was looking at me and telling me I'm going to tear you into pieces? Could you say that you love me and look at me and say, "I'll pursue you till you perish from over the face of this earth"? No, God doesn't love the wicked. As a matter of fact, God hates the wicked. Now, there's one thing that God says concerning the wicked. "It is not my will that any should perish. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'd rather that the wicked would repent of their sins, that I might save them." But brother, to love the wicked, God does not love the wicked. But God loves you. And God is for you. And God will make all things work together for your good. God will do something for you. But the wicked, God will pursue them. God is after them. People who cause problems, people who live ungodly, people who teach false doctrine, people that cause division in the church, people that set themselves up as an example when God has not set them up as an example. God said, I will pursue those people until they perish from over the face of the earth. He said, they went, but I never sent them. He said, they run, but I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't send them, he said. Now, folks, we run into a lot of things when you're preaching the gospel. Sometimes we run into a knife. Sometimes we run into a gun. Sometimes we run into numbers of things. We run into all kinds of things. And sometimes you lose your life. Not too long ago, Bill Bowman from Carolina was come under his tent, come under the back here. And when he stepped on the platform, somebody shot him and killed him. But you know what? That don't bother me one iota. I don't know of a better way to die than to die for Jesus. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. That would be one of the sweetest things that a man ever done, is to die for God. So then tonight, God loves you. God is for you. And God wants to help you. But let me tell you something, folks. When we do wickedly, when we do evil, when we transgress the commandments of God, when we go contrary to the things of God, I want you to know that when we do those things, God will visit our iniquity upon our heads. I said last night, me being a preacher, you being a preacher, it doesn't mean one thing. If you are a preacher and you get wicked and you get ugly and you get lewd and you do the wrong thing, I want you to know that God will send you to hell. If Brother Pike preaches all of his life and then turns and does wickedly, God will send me to hell. Paul said, if I preach to others and I don't keep this body of mine under subjection to holiness and righteousness, that God will send me to hell. Preachers across the world today, it is a sad state of affair. We travel all over the world into the islands, into the different parts. And I find out that preachers, many preachers today, are a bunch of renegades. They don't love the people. They're not telling the people the truth. There's some that's preached the gospel, that's backslid on God, that's not living an overcoming life, that's not living a holy life. One time they live for God, but they don't live for God anymore. And they're blinding the people. By the thousands, they're blinding the people. They're just as backslid as they can be. We need to live for God, folks. We need to get back to holiness. You say, what do you think, Brother Pike? I tell you, in the name of the Lord, it's holiness or it's hell. You're either going to live holy or you're going to go to hell. You can be as religious as you want to. You can belong to every church that you want to. But if you don't have holiness in your life, you're going to die and you're going into the lake of fire. That's for the preachers and that's for the laity. We turn around and we look at the sinners. We look at these sinners and we upbraid the sinners. But did you know that God said, I would that you were a hot or cold? Did you know that you was better off when you was a sinner? Before you got religious, folks, you was better off. Did you know that? Unless you're going to go on with God and be fervent in the Spirit and live a holy life. Did you know that God would give you more grace as a sinner? He said, I would that you were hot or that you were cold. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were a sinner, because Jesus died to save the lost. I would that you were a sinner, he said. Didn't know anything about me, so that I could send the preacher and tell you of your sins. I would that you were a sinner. Or I would that you was a son of God, a real, genuine Christian, burning with the fervency of God, and being on fire for the Son of God and wanting to see the kingdom of God established in the earth. I would that you were hot or cold. All of my benches, all of my tables, all of my chairs are filled with vomit. The last church age is the most sickening church age that's named in the Bible. It's called the Laodicean church age, which is people's rights. It's a time when everybody's hollering, I want my rights. The blacks are hollering, I want my rights. The whites are hollering, I want my rights. The women are hollering, I want my rights. The men are hollering, I want my rights. Junior and sissy's hollering, I want my rights. It's the layout of sin day of corruption. And it's an evil day. And the church world is saying, we're rich, we've got cathedrals, we've got money, we've got people, we're rich and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, know ye not that you are wretched and miserable and blind. A terrible church. I would that you were hot or cold. All of my tables are filled with vomit. He said, you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. All of my tables are filled with vomit, he said. What is the vomit? I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm, Laodicea. Folks, it's a terrible age. We say, Brother Pike, the grace of God takes care of it. Now listen, there is a dispensational grace. It is given to every man, woman, boy and girl. It is even given to the wicked. There is a dispensational day of grace wherein even devils receive grace. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean God has given grace to the devils? God even gave grace to the devils. When he went into the land of the Gadarenes, and when legion run down to meet him, and the devils cried out, said, what have we to do with you, thou Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time? They knew there was a certain time that they were going to be taken into captivity, but they knew that that time wasn't at hand. And they said, have you shortened this thing? Have you come to torment us before our time? Said, it's not time for you to call us into judgment. Jesus said, all right. They said, let us go away in that herd of swine. Give us grace. Give us mercy. Let us continue on to the end of our day. And the Bible said he gave them leave and they went their way and entered into the herd of swine and 2,000 pigs before they'd be filled with the devil, run into the ocean and committed suicide. Pigs. More sense than human beings. Pigs. Before they'd have the devil on the inside of them, chose to die and drown themselves in the water. But over the world today, hundreds and thousands of people are filled with devils. See, grace. What is it? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And in that day, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon your sons and daughters and upon my handmaidens. And they will prophesy, the Lord said. But did you know that that grace that is dispensational will not save you from the lake of fire? Do you know that that grace that God gave unto those devils will not save you from the lake of fire? It is a dispensational grace. It is the time that the blood from Calvary is on the mercy seat, lasting until Revelation 8 where it comes off. And did you know it cannot save you? But the Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the grace that can save you, the grace of God that brings salvation. It's a different kind of grace altogether. What does the Bible say about it? It says the grace of God had appeared unto every man, all people, teaching us that denying worldly lust, that we should live godly and soberly and righteously in this present world. That's the kind of grace that saves your soul. It is the grace of God that tells you to depart from the lust of the flesh. It is the grace of God that tells you to live soberly. It is the grace of God that tells you to live righteously. It is the grace of God that tells you what pleases God and gives you eternal life. That's why the devils and the demons can preach. That's why the Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. He won't alter it. He won't change it. He'll speak it just exactly like it is. That's why the Bible says that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. That's why the Bible said that the ministers of Satan has transformed themselves into ministers of light. They've got a mind of the devil, and they go after the things of this world, and they love the things of this world. And they'll take every dollar they can bleed you on to get it to substantiate their programs and to carry on their things in the world. And they are just as mick and mushy with the world and the things of the world as they can be. They transform themselves. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. They'll go out here in the world and they'll do the evils of the world. And then they'll get up here, and because there is a dispensational grace, they can find grace like them devils did. And they can stand up here behind the sacred desk, and they can start talking about the Word of God, and they'll transform their minds from that evil, corrupt thing that they've been thinking and doing, and start talking about the Word of God. And because the grace of God is here, then they can transform themselves and begin to minister the Word of God, which is the Word of life. They actually, by the renewing of their minds, transform their minds into words of light and talk to you about the Bible. When they love the wages of unrighteousness. You say, Brother Pike, you couldn't do that. Balaam did it. Balaam did it. Balaam could see visions. Balaam could see Jesus with his eyes open. But the Bible said he was a soothsayer, and he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And God had him killed because of his disobedience. When you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. This grace, this wonderful grace, what does it do? It tells Brother Pike he's got to live right. It tells Brother Pike that without holiness he's never going to see the Lord Jesus. This grace of God tells me that God is the Spirit of holiness, and that I am to have my fruits unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. This grace of God tells me be holy in my spirit. This grace of God tells me be holy in my body. This grace of God tells me to come out from the world, from among them people. The Bible said they'll think it's strange that you are a strange person because you won't run with them to the banqueting and to the rioting and to the things of this world. They'll think it's strange that you're so different. But brother, sister, we're sons and daughters of God. We own the world. We own eternity. We own the universe. We own all the gold and silver. The cattle of 1,000 hills belongs to us. Everything is ours, the Bible tells us. We are the owner of everything. Those people that are frolicking, those people that are demon-possessed, those people that are enjoying this world, those people that won't conform to the Word of God, those people don't own anything. They may be millionaires. They may be great celebrities. They may hold great offices, but they don't have anything. The Bible tells us they are squatters. They're on our property. They're on our land. And they are squatters. And God's going to run an abstract. And we're going to move them off of our properties. And we're going to move them off of our land. That's why they're so contrary. They won't work with you in nothing. They're just as contrary as they can be. Because they perceive that you're sons of God. They perceive that you're daughters of God. And they perceive that you own everything. And they're contrary. They know that you're going to run them off. Those devils recognize you. They recognize you. Some show-offs run up to a man demon-possessed and said, we adjure you by the Christ that Paul preaches. Come out of him. They said, Paul, I know. And they said, Jesus, I know. They said, I don't know nothing about you. Christ, I know, and Paul, I know. But I don't know nothing about you. See, them devils recognize the sons of God. That man that wasn't a son of God, They said, there ain't nothing on the record about you that says we've got to honor you. But you and I and we that love God. He said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tonight we've got power over all the powers of the enemy. All things are yours. And tonight, beloved friend, God is redeeming the body. And this very meeting that we're having right here in Apalachicola, there's so much concerning this meeting that there'd be no way, even as a religious person, you could believe it. Unless you really took some time to get into the mind of Christ. But I want you to know there's a great and a mighty thing happening here tonight. Here in this meeting, this Apalachicola meeting. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. Folks, let no man deceive you. When you do wrong, you're going to receive a recompense of your error. When you do the thing that's displeasing to God, you're going to bring the judgments of the Lord down upon you. Especially you that are supposed to be lights, supposed to be Christians. You're supposed to be a Christian, supposed to be a light. You're going to bring the judgments of God down upon you. Compromising in your mind. Compromising with your neighbor. Compromising with what you call your friend. Did you know a person that will cause you to compromise? A person that will cause you to lean in the wrong direction? A person that will cause you to go the wrong way? That person is not your friend. That person is the devil incarnate. That person is the enemy of your soul. And when you make allowance for them, the Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. If you hold back from telling them the truth, laying down the gospel just like it is to you or to them, you'll have a prick in your side from now on. Everything that you go to do, they'll pop up and hinder you. Everything that you try to do that's godlike, they'll pop up and have another idea and want to go another way and want to do another thing. But if you'll just come right down the line with God's Word, tell the people just like it is, then you'll make friends of those that love the Word, and they'll be an access to your life. You'll make friends of them that love the Word of God. And you won't have to worry about the others because with His Word He cast out the unclean spirits. Oh, brother, when you preach the Word, the others will go the other way. And you won't have to worry about them being pricks in your side. You'll just have friends of the gospel. You'll just have friends of the great, wonderful Word of God. So then tonight, let's make friends of the saints of God. Let's make friends of the gospel. Let's make friends with those people out there that love Jesus. And let's treat the others the best way that we can. Let's try to get along with the others the best that we can. You know, the Bible tells us to honor the magistrates of the land. We're not supposed to be contrary to the police. That's not God's way. We're not supposed to be contrary to the mayor. That's not God's way. We're not supposed to be contrary to the president. That's not God's way. God tells us to obey the magistrates. He tells us to obey the laws of the land and obey them that have rule over us. For the law is made for the lawless. If you do that which is good, the question is asking the Scriptures, who then will harm you? We're supposed to do right, folks, and be an example to honor, to obey. There's not but one time that God ever requires us to cross the law or to cross the magistrates or to cross the ordinances of this world. Just one time, and that is when they crossed the gospel. When they crossed it in Daniel's day, he went right on with his praying. When they crossed it in the day of the Hebrew children, they went right on with their worshiping of God. And God expects us to do the same thing. But as long as they don't cross the Word of God, as long as they're doing their job, you're supposed to honor them. You're supposed to work with them, and you're supposed to respect them because God has ordained that they be there. And numbers of people have not come under the tent, but they still come to hear the gospel. And they still listened. Though following afar off, they still heard the Word of God. And Apalachicola is still hearing the Word of God. There's people here tonight that's hearing God's word. God's trying to do something, beloved friend. We need to step out as a man and woman, boy or girl. And we need to number ourselves with Christ. Number ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We need to come into the right place and get our lives cleaned up and stop playing games. It's late in the day. Let's stop playing religion. Let's stop playing games and get down to business. Let's go back and ask for the old paths and walk therein so that we can find rest to our souls and minds and get rid of the demon oppression and get rid of the afflictions and get rid of all these things that's causing problems. The church world is so sick they hardly know what to do. All because they're walking afar off. All because they're not honoring Christ and they're not living the way they're supposed to live. And devils is just literally devouring them. And they are oppressed and they're torn up in their minds and in their spirits. And they're not going on with God. But let me beseech you by the mercies of God tonight. Beloved friend, come to God tonight. Let me beseech you tonight to turn to Christ tonight. I want you to come. I want everybody to come tonight under this tent. I want you to come down here tonight. And I want to pray with you. And I want you to make a rededication to God tonight. Let's come down tonight. I want you to make a rededication to God. I want you to lift your hand up to the Lord tonight. And I want you to lift your hearts up to Christ tonight. And folks, I want you to invite Jesus into your heart tonight. I want you to invite God into your soul tonight. These people here in Apalachicola and the surrounding areas, they need the gospel. You don't know when a cyclone will sweep through this place and take people. You don't know when an epidemic will sweep through and take people. The revelation of Christ tells us in the book of Revelation, John said, one of those angels poured his vial out into the air. Poured his vial out into the air. And it speaks of a time that the plagues are going to be so bad. It says that the eyes will consume away in the socket. Did you know, spiritually speaking, speaking of eyes of understanding, that evil is so bad today that the vision of the people are literally consuming. They are consumed by the evil and their vision is being lost. And because iniquity is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. I want you to know tonight that the love of many people are waxing cold. There's people under this tent tonight that one time was burning with the fire of revival. And they were burning with the fire of God. And they had a testimony within their heart that the devil couldn't shake. And they had faith in their heart that the devil couldn't move. And they were a pillar in the temple of God. And they stood as a monument in the earth. They led people. And people could lean upon them because they were a pillar. And people could look to them because they were strong. Real strong in the spirit. But tonight they're weak. Tonight they become weak. Because they've not sought God, not prayed, not fasted, not been concerned, got too much of the world on their mind. Listen to those people out there that love the things of this world. And you become weak. And tonight you can't hardly keep yourself in line with God, let alone help somebody else. But tonight I want you to renew that vow. Tonight I want you to renew that covenant. The Bible said, don't be weary and faint in your minds. Gird up the loins of your mind. Have faith in God tonight. Gird up the loins of your mind and have faith in God tonight. And let's renew our covenant in God. Let's renew our hearts. Let's renew our vows. The Bible said, pay your vows unto God because God hath no pleasure in fools. When you vow unto God and you don't pay it, God calls you a fool. Every one of us from the time that we were born again, we vowed to God we'd do everything we could. We vowed to God our life and our strength, our ambition and everything in our life. We said, Jesus, we'll give you and we'll follow you. We'll go with you through the garden, Jesus. We'll go with you all the way, Jesus. If you'll just save my soul, I'll give you my strength. I'll love you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I'll do everything I can for you, Jesus. Tonight, I want you to renew your covenant, folks. I want you to renew your covenant tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. Let's lift them hands up tonight in love of God. Can you lift up your hands tonight and love Jesus Christ? Can you lift up your hands tonight and love Jesus Christ? Can you lift up your heart tonight and take Christ into your life? Folks, He'll heal you tonight. He'll heal that body tonight. If that body's sick tonight, God will heal you. If you'll lift up your hearts and hands to God tonight and accept Christ in your heart, God will heal your body tonight. God will do something for you tonight. Just lift your hands up and your hearts up, and let's love Him and worship Him tonight. To worship God in spirit. To worship God in truth. To give God our hearts again. To give God our lives again. I want you to worship God with me tonight. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, as I pray for these people, I ask You to look down from heaven. I ask You to move by Your Spirit, Father. I ask You to break the yoke tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to heal. In the name of Jesus, I ask You to break the yokes. In the name of Jesus, I ask You to move the demon powers from off of this place, God. From off of these people, God. I ask You to go into their hearts and break the yokes and take the oppression away, oh God. I want You to heal tonight. I want You to save tonight. I want You to do something for these people tonight. Father, do something special tonight. Lord, meet their natural needs, their physical needs. Meet their spiritual needs tonight. Father, give these people power. Give these people power. Give these people power. You said You've given us power over all the powers of the enemy. Oh God, let them take their power and their authority tonight. Let them take that authority that You've given them over the powers of evil and over the powers of the flesh. Let them take it by faith tonight, being sons and daughters of God, and let them reach out tonight. I ask You to do it in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight.